A fourth reading from Colossians chapter 1, starting with the third verse. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, in faith and love that spring forth the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understand God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, with whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It is no secret what God can do. Have you heard that song before? You know, it's interesting. It is no secret what God can do. That's what he does for others. He will do for you. With open arms, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. That song, and like I said, I checked the hymnal, the Methodist hymnal, and the other hymnal that I have, and it wasn't there, but it popped into my head as I was reading this word from Colossians, from Paul. It is no secret what God can do. It is the gospel that Paul is writing about, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it seems, as we read this letter, that a man called Epaphras, who's heard of him, right? And yet Paul identifies him as a fellow worker in the gospel. And it was he that first went to Colossae and shared the gospel with people there. And what it seems like, what we picture here as Paul writes, is that it took root in some of the people, and it grew like a garden, and it bore fruit, and other people committed to Christ, and the gospel grew, and it became a church. And Epaphras must have been so excited that he contacted Paul, who happened to be a few miles in Rome, in prison, and yet Epaphras shares that good news with Paul about the church in Colossae, like it's growing. Paul must have got excited and said, you know what? It's no secret what God can do, and I'm excited about the good news taking root in Colossae. And so Paul writes while he's in prison to the people in Colossae and wants to strengthen them and give them all wisdom and knowledge and commend them. And how many times did he say, we're praying for you. We're with you. We want you to have strength and endurance for the gospel. Can we imagine how the gospel grew in that day? There wasn't any emails, right? There wasn't any cell phones where you could send a text. People wrote from the bottom of their hearts, and it was carried for miles and miles into where Paul was in prison. Paul writes back, and we have it here in Colossians chapter 1, the inspired word of God. The gospel is no secret how powerful it can be. If you read Mark chapter 1, you will read about Jesus when he came into his ministry, It says that he told the people, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in what? The gospel. And then we know that the disciples went with him for 3 years, and then after the cross and resurrection at Pentecost, what happened? The disciples who had seemed to be down and outers were inspired to share the gospel. If you read a little church history, the gospel started in Jerusalem. And yet there was all kinds of persecution which scattered them out into the world. They went to Samaria, and then they went out into the other regions of the world to spread the gospel. And so the gospel grew through, and that's what Paul was trying to say, that he had heard that the gospel was throughout the world. It had actually come to Rome. It is no secret what God can do when the good news fills us, dear friends. It is powerful, and it inspires us to come here to pray for ourselves or pray for other people, to light candles, because we maybe know hurting people that need the good news. And lo and behold, our days are filled with bad news, aren't they? Every morning I take a walk, a few miles, depends on the weather. But I walk and I get deep in thought. And I talk to God, and I talk, sometimes I have to have a talk with myself. And yet there are times when I walk, when I get started to get consumed with negative feelings. It just seems like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. I want things to be better. You ever feel that way? And that's the time when we need the good news, that we need to be assured that it's no secret what God can do. Even how we feel doesn't matter, because we know there's good news, and we know that it's growing throughout the world. And so tonight, we heard the gospel. The gospel means good news. And the gospel, as we seek to live it out, can be contagious. We hear about the pandemic, how contagious it is, and it is. The gospel is even more contagious when the people of God get inspired and the people of God share good news, even in the midst of difficulties. Why are we called Methodist? Well, the word means methodical. But actually, the Wesley brothers didn't call themselves Methodists. Other people called them Methodist. But what we call it is the Wesleyan movement. John and Charles were inspired. They started a holy club, and they committed to spread scriptural holiness throughout the land. They didn't even envision that it would just be a few counties around in England. All of a sudden, it went across to the United States, and it spread even into Ohio. And you can tell by all the little Methodist churches in Ohio, if you go every 5 miles or so, you see a little Methodist church because of the circuit riders. Dear friends, it's no secret what God can do. It's powerful, this gospel. You know, it's interesting that the gospel began at the cross. God's redemptive work began at the cross. And we know that the disciples were so disillusioned, so in despair, that they denied him, they fled, they just were so upset. And even on Easter morning, they wanted to believe, but they, as the scripture says, they still doubted. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, dear friends, we know the gospel became powerful in their hearts, and it spread throughout the world. So tonight, with confidence, we can come to God's table. And as we come, we can celebrate that God has brought us out of darkness into his kingdom of light. There's no secret what God can do. Before the cross, Jesus had supper with his disciples. And even during that time, he took the bread, the common meal, and after he took the bread, he broke it and blessed it and said, "This is my body that is given for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me." And then after supper, Jesus took the cup, and after he blessed it, he said, "This cup represents the new covenant of blood that I will shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me." So tonight, as we take the bread and cup together, as we commune together, remember that God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit as we open our hearts, that as we are touched by the good news, it takes root, it grows, it is contagious, and we can make a difference in Jesus' name.